Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Cure the sick and these kinds of things. But in this particular case, what we see is the true aim, the true goal of the demonic powers juxtaposed, placed right next to the true compassion and love of Christ for the human race. What happens here? The Lord crosses over the sea and he comes into the country of the Gergesenes, and there are two. And we're told in St. Matthew's Gospel that they are possessed with devils and they live in the tombs and they are exceedingly fierce. And no man can pass by that way. No one can even go past them. They're so fierce. And those men, or rather the demons that they are possessed with, speak first to Christ. Christ goes out to them. He knows they're there, obviously. And no one can go by that way. No one can travel that way. So the Lord goes out there to them. But they speak first. And the fathers point out that they're both shameless, and yet they also confess it. Because their first words are shameless. What do we have to do with you, Jesus? But they call him the Son of God. And then they say, are you come here to torment us before the time? In other words, they know full well what their destiny is. They know that Christ is able to destroy them. They know that that is the ultimate end of their life, so to speak. So that they're speaking to him as a confession, essentially. And we're told at this point in St. Matthew's Gospel, there's a good way off a herd of many swine who are feeding. And so the devils ask him. Now Christ has not yet spoken. They simply speak to him. They call him Son of God, and they ask if he's come to destroy them before the time for their destruction has come. So they ask him, saying, if you cast us out, if you're going to cast us out, then allow us to go away into the herd of swine. And Jesus speaks one word to them. It's very important never to talk to demons unless you absolutely have to. And trust me, none of us have to do it. Christ himself speaks one word to them, and the word is, go. And so they go, and they enter into the herd of swine, and what happens? The pigs will not tolerate their presence. Archbishop Dimitri was fond of pointing that out, that the demons could dehumanize a man, but they couldn't make a pig less than what it was. A pig is always a pig. A man can be made less than a man, but a pig can't be made less than a pig. But they enter into the herd of swine, and the response from the swine is to run down the hill and to drown in the waters. And so those who are the swine herds that keep them, they run away and they go into the city and they tell everything that's happened, including what's happened to the men who are possessed by the devils, who we're told in St. Mark's Gospel are now in their right mind. They are now purified of their demonic possession. And the whole city comes out to meet Jesus. And when they see him, they ask him to go away. So I think one question we can ask ourselves at the end of this passage is, who is really possessed of demons? The man who is exceedingly fierce, but who nevertheless is able to be cured by Christ? Or those and the fathers point out it's their greed. They were raising this wine and they were going to make a profit. And when they saw their prophet floating dead in the waters of the lake, their response was, please go away, you've already done enough damage. But the reality is, the souls of two men are of more value than 2,000 pigs. The soul of one man is of infinite value. So here we see, as I mentioned, the true purpose and intent of the demons was because the Lord, does he despise the swine? Does he hate them? Does he wish ill upon the pigs? No. Why does he allow them to be host to these demons? Why does he allow them to drown themselves in the water? Surely, it's for our sake, for our salvation. And what the Lord does is he permits the demons to act out their ultimate purpose, which is destruction. The goal of the demons is to destroy men. Period. That's their intent. That's what they strive to do. That's what their every moment is spent contemplating and bringing into action. Their purpose is the destruction of men. And so Christ allows them to be seen for what they are, utterly and completely and senselessly destructive. And yet, at the same time, we see his compassion and his love. He casts them out of these two men who are possessed. Yes, obviously, that's a very loving action, we would say. But when those who come from the city say to him, please go away, he leaves. In other words, he will not override their free will. They see the miracle. They can interpret it for themselves. Their interpretation is that they want him to go away. And without speaking a word to them, he turns and he leaves. He doesn't stand there and harangue them. He doesn't stand there and tell them what fools they are. He doesn't stand there and tell them, you know, look at what happened here. Don't you get it? Of course they get it. Of course they understand. They want him to leave. And so his response is to leave. This is an act of compassion, an act of mercy. Trust me, God will never override the free will that he has given us. But the one thing that we ought to realize from this is that Christ permits the demons to act. He permits them to act whenever they go into the swine, but he also permits them to act when they inspire the men from the village to ask him to leave. In fact, in every case, when the demons act, it is with the permission of Christ. They themselves confess that. Are you come here to destroy us? If you're going to cast us out, let us go over there. They can't even leave the men that go to the swine without the permission of Christ. In this life, Christ permits them to act. Why? I think for many of us, that's a source of confusion or frustration. Or maybe even anger. We sometimes feel angry with God because our life is in such a condition that we can't understand why that would be. When things are very difficult for us, we feel like, well, I pray to God every day and I do the best that I can and he hasn't helped me out. Let me point you to a text from the Divine Liturgy in the first prayer of the Anaphora. We give thanks, and forgive me, I'm paraphrasing from memory here. We give thanks to God, the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, for benefits, known and unknown, revealed and not revealed. And this passage from the Gospel points to a tremendous benefit of which we are largely ignorant. That is, Christ, first and foremost, prevents the demons from destroying us every day. St. Seraphim of Sarov said, the demonic powers, remember, they're fallen angels. They have angelic power. They have angelic might. St. Seraphim of Sarov says that the least of them, could destroy the entire world if God allowed it. And every day, constantly, all the time, God is preventing that. And we give thanks for that in the Divine Liturgy. For the benefits that God does for us that we do not even see, that we do not even know about. And first and foremost, we ought to give thanks to God for this. That he has not allowed us to be destroyed, because again, that is their goal. The powers of darkness have a goal, and it is our destruction. And Christ does not allow it. What he does allow is for us to struggle a little bit. Why does he allow that? So we'll grow up. So we'll become true disciples. So that we will learn how to depend on him. So that we'll learn how to cry out to him in our suffering. So that we'll learn how to do battle with the demons. So that we will learn how to resist their temptations. So that we will learn how to actually be mature, spiritually mature Christians, followers of Christ. This is his goal for us. This is his desire for us. The small struggles that you and I have to endure in this life are given as education, as a discipline, like a parent disciplines a child, to bring us up to be upright, to bring us up and form us into the kind of person that we ought to be. And we have to become the kind of people who are fit for eternal life with God. And therefore God permits the temptations that we suffer every day. But we should not forget that no matter what it is we suffer, every day, and I know many of us suffer with some pretty, what feels like to us, pretty heavy things, that Christ is always preserving us. He is always preserving us from the ultimate goal of the demons. All he asks is that we, in our everyday lives, struggle a little bit to have some faith. Struggle a little bit to have hope in Christ. Struggle a little bit to persevere in our resistance to the temptations. Struggle a little bit in prayer. Struggle a little bit in fasting. He asks us to do these things so that we can grow, so that we will mature, so that we will become actual disciples and followers of him. And look, the end result of this whole thing, the lives of the saints, where do they arrive? What point do they arrive at? They themselves cast out demons, just like Christ. They themselves resist temptation, just like Christ. They themselves are able to be empowered, like Christ, to be victorious over the powers of darkness. May he also give us that victory over the evil who seek to destroy us. Christ, who is almighty, to him be all glory, honor, and worship unto ages of ages.
Amen.